is a darn yard sale science.
Okay.
So if we could keep that as simple as possible.
Where are people putting yard sale signs?
Boxes on the street.
On diaper boxes. On
yeah.
The in the street?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the corner of the sidewalk.
Okay.
Not the street.
So if you, and now are you for that or not for that?
As long as they pick it up. I just want them to have the liberty of announcing their yard sale.
Yeah.
How they see fit. But there has to be something in place to where if they don't pick it up,
then it's litter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're usually pretty unattractive.
Yeah. And it should have their address on there to where we could go maybe cite them if they don't pick it up.
Okay.
Something of that nature.
We can look at something like that.
We shouldn't be out there for more than 2 days. Mm-hmm. Or three. Well, usually it's
like one of the things that some cities do is they don't allow it, but they say they don't allow it in the street. However, you can't regulate signs on vehicles the same way because it's a different code. It's a state vehicle code. So I've seen a lot of people, they'll put a sign on their car and then drive the car somewhere. But then we know that they're going to go pick it up because they want their car back.
So as you think about yard sales, we're getting back to the content, though. We've talked about this a bit.
Yeah.
So
we are regulating content, and we can get ourselves in trouble with that. So
if you allow those kind of signs, you have to allow a sign that says anything. So it's not, you have to think about it as like, do we want to allow yard sale signs in the street, but do we want to allow signs in the street? Because we can't.
It's not on the street per se.
Okay.
On the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk. Okay. Do we want to allow signs? It's still part of the public right of way.
That's the issue, though. You don't want your campaign signs on sidewalks.
And see, that's the thing, and that's where.
You have to put them on private property.
That's where we're. That's where kind of the Supreme Court's kind of limited us, is we can't distinguish between yard sale signs and election signs anymore. We kind of have to have the same rule. For everything that's temporary.
And you're going to want to be able to live with whatever it is that you do. And that's the problem with the sign ordinance, because we're thinking yard sales right now, but there are going to be a million things that are going to fall under the same umbrella that you've got to be comfortable with. For example, having it on private property and saying, maybe just limiting the duration. You can limit the size. Okay, signage on private property can't be more than this. But you have it on private property, but maybe I could advertise my yard sale on your property because the current sign ordinance says I've got to have it only on my own property, and that doesn't work.
Right.
But maybe if they could put it on their neighbor's property or down at the person on the street corner.
That's the purpose, yeah.
Yeah, but maybe that's something that you could live with.
I think that makes more sense. Because I know can use private property like
I know campaign signs are not going to be on the sidewalk on a diaper.
Hopefully.
That's not going to happen.
And the thing with those is you know who the owner is, and they could get cited. So, but with other signs,
but
you don't always know.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could say anything, put it on a sign on a diaper box on the street. They could say, you know, something negative about their neighbor or whatever. So.
I could still put a sign up in my yard.
In your yard, you can.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. But do we want to be able to do that on a sidewalk street corner?
The other issue is code versus enforcement. So, and this happens a lot with zoning, is you have a restrictive code, but you don't enforce it restrictively unless the town starts getting a little out of hand, and then you have the code to enforce it. If you say they're prohibited but look the other way as long as everybody's picking them up on Sunday, maybe that's a way to go. I don't know.
Until we bust somebody. And then they say, but you let that person do it.
It should be written out when they get their permit. It should state there that if you leave your sign out for more than 3 days for a yard sale, you know, you will be cited.
We could probably do that on a yard sale permit. I think we could put some requirements on that. But as far as the copy of the sign, the content of the sign, again, I'm with Murray. You know, they've got that. The sandwich boards can be really attractive, and you might not mind having those out on a sidewalk in front of a restaurant or a jewelry store that's having a special. You might not mind that. But we've got to figure out, because if you can allow the jewelry store to advertise or the restaurant to advertise, then you could advertise something else there, too. That's what really makes this complicated.
Would that also include, like, those flags? Is that
animals? What about animals? Stuffed animals? No, but can't there be something separate for each?
You can regulate by type and shape, but not by what it says.
So I would think you would not want any advertisement in public right of way and public property, except for those places that you specifically designate. So like. The windmill, for example, like you're gonna have a policy that says, you know, a nonprofit or whatever, so much time. Anywhere other than that
is Lindsay property, right?
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I understand that.
Sidewalks also. So that's in the public right of way. Mm-hmm. So that would be included in there that you could not. Now if you want to remind people when they pick up their yard sale permit, hey, after 2 days, I mean, because really people start putting them out on Friday, mm-hmm. and they should pick them up by Sunday.
By Sunday, yeah.
And I mean, that's when, you know, I would imagine like 100% of the yard sales happen.
Yeah.
Is almost in that 3 day period.
And it's easy because you pick up the sign and you see the address so you know where to go.
And I think it's a matter of education too and awareness. You know, I don't know what it would take to come get a yard sale permit, but if we attach something to it saying, you know, signs can only be this big, you can only have them. I don't know if they already do that or have something attached. But I think, you know, it's just a matter of reinforcing that when they do pay for their permit.
Right
now it says the sign can only be on the property where you're having your yard sale.
Correct. Yeah. And we loosened that way up because we felt it was difficult for people. But as you talk about the public right-of-way actually goes from the property side of the sidewalk. So the sidewalk, the parkway strip if you're in a residential area, the street.
So that belongs to the city?
It's public right.
Yeah.
So the sidewalks, you're saying that the sidewalks belong to the city?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's public right of way. Yeah. There's a distinction. But if you decide, maybe you decide that you're okay with parkway strips is where I'm going. Maybe you're okay with it being in a parkway strip if it's not too close to an intersection so it doesn't cause a visual hazard. But again, it's not just yard sale signs. It'll be any kind of sign that could be portable like that they could put there. Maybe you want to keep it on private property only. But we can put requirements on the yard sale sign application and say, this is okay. If you do something other than that, you might get cited for littering.
Because the thing is, they always put it in the main roads, like on the corners.
On the stop sign, they'll take them.
Yeah, and we'd want to prohibit that because that's a safety issue.
So, I mean, for me, the big issue is if you can't regulate a yard sale sign any different than an election sign, then we need to not allow them on public right of way.
But you can.
But you can't. So what are you saying? We can't.
Well, you can, right?
I'm saying you can regulate it however you want. Just recognize it's all for one and one for all if you do it. And when you talk about the public right of way, it goes all the way from that property line, includes the sidewalk, the parkway strip if it exists in a residential area and across the street. That's a pretty big area. If you were okay with putting them, say, in the parkway strip, that would be in the public right-of-way, you can do that. But anybody who's got a sign can then put it there. You may only want to keep it on private property.
There is what he's saying. If we allow yard sale signs to be put there, any kind of sign. Put there.
As long as it's temporary, 3 days.
Well, that's for you guys to decide. That's why we're having the talk.
Yeah.
Has there been an issue? What other kind of signs have we...
Well, we haven't had these rules. See, before we used to regulate the campaign signs, and we recognized that you can't do that. I think the city of Tulare and some other places got in trouble. We changed our ordinance to remove restrictions on that so we wouldn't get in trouble about when you could put them up and when they had to come down and so forth. And so, yeah, we're getting away from the content, and it makes sense when you sit and you talk about it until you say, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. I didn't realize that this would fit in there, too.
So we say if we go against it now, come election time, nobody can have any election time.
They could. You're not going to stop election signs, but it's about whether or not you say you want to let it go in the parkway strip.
In the right of way.
Yeah, right now you can do it on properties, private properties. But whether or not you want to let it go in the park, maybe you don't. Maybe you do. And I don't have a recommendation for you on that other than if you let them start going into parkway strips, they're probably going to creep toward intersections. They may start obstructing your turn.
Now, we could amend it at any time, right?
There you go. It's a little easier with temporary signs than permanent ones because permanent ones, once you give somebody a sign and it's permanent, it's going to stay there probably forever.
Oh, yeah. Our biggest thing here is people complaining about the yard sale signs being taken.
Okay.
And those are temporary.
All right.
Why are they being taken? Because I see some that are code for weeks.
Code enforcement.
For weeks.
On the permanent, I would suggest whatever they...
Yeah, what we'll propose on permanent is some standards that are typical what other cities do in terms of size and number of signs and things like that. While I got you on temporary signs, do we like A-frame signs in the downtown sidewalks? Do you like those?
I do.
Okay. What about the...
I mean, as long as there's enough walkway.
We will have something that says you have to maintain...
And that owner's, he's advertising his...
Yeah, what we usually say is they have to maintain 4 feet of clearance to get past and that they have to bring it in at night when they're closed. And then what about the feather banners, the big tall ones? Do you like... Some cities don't like those. Some do. We can put a height limit on them. If you don't want gigantic ones, because they make them in all sizes, we can put a height limit on them, whatever.
And do you want them to be temporary or do you want them up all the time? Can you do a special attraction, grand opening or...
That's when the man comes out.
I think it could be the same as the A signs, right? Just make sure you put them away, that they're not interfering with...
And that they're in good shape.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's one thing we'll say for all temporary signs is they may be maintained in good condition. Right. They don't get ratty or torn, things like that.
Yeah, they can't be
that they
discolored.
They need to be replaced. Discolored, yes. Yep. Anything else? Any other things, hot topics about signs?
I don't think so. When I asked UK to look into this, I said enough has gone on where there's probably another city out there that's done a good job and plowed some of this field already. But we know that yard sale signs have been a concern for you in particular, and for probably all of you have heard one time or another some problem, a complaint about how yard sales are enforced. And we recognize it and that it's complicated, and we know that there's an interest in perhaps allowing banners. We haven't talked about size or any of that, but potentially allowing, a banner. In my mind, I'm just talking. Say you've got somebody who wants to do soccer sign-ups, and you say you let them do a 4x4 or an 8x4 banner for 2 weeks prior to the sign-up, so long as they get a permit from the city and they can hang it out there around the sports complex, that you might be okay with that. I don't see a problem with it, but again, it's your call.
Yeah. So people... You would require a permit, like someone couldn't just go out there and hang up their own
sign
on that fence.
So we'd want to be able to regulate it.
Yeah, that way we know when it goes up and when it should go back down, because if there's another sport team that wants to drive, they get
the
their
space.
Fair share of time as well.
And that's why that works there. So my thinking is community benefit, non-profit. Okay. And 2 weeks prior to the event, you'd be okay with?
You can work something out like that. So like I said, the ordinance we're going to show you, it's pretty long because it has to have some certain things in it. But it's something we've already tested it in two other cities. So you have the benefit of knowing that you had two other cities before you that looked at it and seemed to like how it worked out. So.
Steve, I had a few questions about the mural section as I was looking at the draft.
Yeah.
We had a pretty extensive mural, section.
If you like the mural section you already have, we can keep that. If you like the one you already have, we can keep it. That's fine.
Okay. So there's no, new state requirements?
No, not for murals.
Murals. I mean, for example, one thing that you can't have ones that you can mount up Yeah, I think our Boy Scout mural is down to
Okay.
services and hasn't caused any harm. So
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your what about it being on the building itself.
Right. There was a caveat in the draft that the mural had to be painted on
be painted.
The building itself and can't be on something else and mounted up. But I know we've done mounted murals in the city.
We have. We've used special materials. We have some mural aficionados here, and it's called dye bond. It's very durable. So you'd have to have a caveat in there. It'd have to be a very durable, you know, weather resistant material if it weren't on the wall.
Yeah. Okay.
If you like the mural section that you have right now,
we can substitute that back in and keep that part of it. Sure.
Did we ever address remember that lady that came in about the sidewalks? Where the lowrider show that she was going to bring artists to see if they could put their hands on the sidewalk?
She never got back with me on what she wanted to
do. Oh, okay. Can we do that? Is that easy
enough? Well, that wouldn't be a signed thing. That would be about whether or not they would need to say specifically to me what it is they want to do.
Oh, okay.
And then if the idea had merit, I would bring it to you that this is something that they want to do. It's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame or something like that for the actors that would be coming in for this event, but she didn't get back.
Oh.
And if I could add one thing, Madam Mayor, legal counsel suggested on the banners that we were talking about out of the sports complex, perhaps we simply say non-commercial, and then we're not showing favoritism or discretion. It's a lot easier to sort out. It's a lot more even-handed. And if it's non-commercial, you know, you're going
to
have time.
Well, you may not be officially a non-profit either, but actually wants to put up.
And it's easier to regulate. You can much easier regulate commercial speech, which is a lower standard. So if you just say non-commercial, you know, it's a
community benefit.
It's a community event or whatever. It's much easier. You're just eliminating the ad.
The ordinance does allow you to regulate
and most of the court cases, when the question comes up, tells you you have to give special consideration to non-commercial speech. So you can be a little more heavy-handed on commercial speech. So one of the interesting ones from a few years ago was there was a city, I think it was San Diego, that only wanted their billboards to be advertising commercial things. They didn't want, you know, public announcements on their billboards, and they lost that in court pretty badly.
Steve, we do have a question. So there has been going to Healthy Kids, Healthy Lindsay. There's all but an epidemic of vaping and juuling and so forth in the schools. Will we have the ability to regulate that in their school sites? Because it is content-based, but it's commercial.
What is it?
It's a way of inhaling aerosols or illegal substances.
But you're talking about the advertising for it?
Oh, the advertising for it.
No worries.
No, you're talking about advertising for, like, a vape shop or something.
Right.
So,
a school site.
Okay, we can work on that.
It's not the industry. It's the distinction is commercial speech has a lower standard that you can regulate as opposed to non-commercial speech. So non-commercial speech is basically commercial speech. I would say, come buy my
come buy this.
Come shop at my store. Non-commercial speech is everything else. Support my nonprofit. Vote for Flores. Vote against Flores. A million things that you want to put out there. But I'm not trying to sell you something. But if you're trying to sell something, then it's a much... The council has the ability to regulate it much more strictly.
One other little question I noticed in looking at the draft was something about balloons. Like, you can't have balloons on a string attached to a sign. And
that's one. If you're okay with that, that's... Fine.
You don't want it maybe all the time, but if someone's having a grand opening and they want to tie some balloons on their
Some screen, cities prohibit it because they've had problems in the past where the balloon gets away and it's hanging over the street and then
electrical lines.
Electrical lines. But if that's not a problem for you, we can take that out.
Yeah, well, because I know that a lot of realtors use the balloons.
Like they'll attach them to the A signs.
Yeah, to the A signs.
So how about Mylar? Would you be okay with banning Mylar? Just
we can ban Mylar.
Because Mylar will start a fire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually the other
kind of regular balloon, right? Latex. Yeah.
Okay, we can change that. And yeah, again, well, these are good questions because there's so much in that ordinance, and what we propose is a conglomeration of what we hear in other cities, but we know that every city, you know, personalizes it to their own city. So,
what about the signage on windows? You know how sometimes they put on the inside.
Yeah, like especially in a downtown. Uh-huh. I think what we usually say is somewhere between 20% and 40% of the window cannot be covered, and that's mainly for safety, so that police or somebody else can look inside. So you can tweak that based on if you want to be more strict, you say 20. If you want to be less strict, you say 40.
Oh, that's a good way of presenting it, though.
Yeah. So it's up to you to tell us what do you want that number to be, and then
40% seems like a lot. That's like covering a lot of your
20% would be good.
20%?
A window. And we've wrestled with that with our downtown merchants because we've had people build new structures that think that they want to cover all the windows. They feel safer in that way. But if a police officer can't see, they're not going to walk into something if they can't tell what the threat is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is 20% acceptable to council?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are saying 20% covered, right?
Covered.
So 80% uncovered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the banner size, 3x5, 3x7, 3x10, 4x11
banners for which ones?
If I could suggest, if you're thinking about, and again, I'm thinking content here, so I may go off track, but if you're thinking about soccer sign up, you're thinking about Pee Wee football sign up, and you've got the corridor in particular that we're talking about. We're talking about the sports complex area. Okay. You want to be able to capture that really quickly, so bigger's better. You know, you don't want it so small that the car driving by is not going to see it. So I would think that you'd go up to a 4x8. So long as you're only going to have it there for 2 weeks or smaller.
It doesn't have to be, it's obviously going to be
so
smaller.
So is that what
on the
fits on the windmill? Is it a 4x8? That fits on the windmill?
It's a different size. It's
that part with that.
Yeah. But we're just right now I'm talking about that one area.
Oh, okay.
The windmill's going to have something. I don't know if it's 8x8, Mike, is the biggest that can go.
I hope it's that big.
I've got the numbers on it.
Okay.
But anyway, we make it up to
yes, up to this big.
Okay.
You typically do square footage or actual dimensions.
You can do it either way.
I'm like
32 square foot sign. Yeah. I've normally done it 32 square feet because that's a sheet of plywood.
Yeah. However you want to do it. And then permanent signs, especially commercial. Permanent signs are usually based on how big of a building you have. So if you have small frontage, you get a smaller sign. If you have twice as much, you get twice as big of a sign. So that's when we take in sign permits, we always have to ask the person, well, how much frontage do you have? And sign companies have gotten used to do that because all cities ask that. So
that's pretty standard stuff.
That's pretty standard too, Matt, to regulate the permanent signs on buildings based on how big the building is. Usually downtowns, there's not a lot of problem because they don't want some gigantic sign. They just want a sign that looks good on their storefront. The big box stores, when those were getting built, those were tricky because some of them wanted gigantic signs. I argued with a guy from he came from Minnesota twice to argue with me about the size of the Best Buy sign in Visalia. He wanted something that was just as big as this wall. We said we don't do signs that big in Visalia. So
awnings have nothing to do with signs, right?
The awning itself does not. If there's wording on the awning, we would count that as part of the signage size.
Is there anything about quality of sign construction and materials? Like, just thinking
especially
about
with,
an awning can be a sign.
Yeah, especially with temporary signs, we'll have something about that needs to be maintained in good condition. With the permanent signs, we'll probably say it's like quality materials, but some of that because, you know, they're attached to buildings, they'll go through a building code review as well to make sure the attachments are safe and if there's electrical for lighting. So a permanent sign usually has a building code attached, a building permit attached to it as well.
Do temporary signs have any requirements about being waterproof or anything like that?
I haven't heard of waterproof. That's a good idea, though.
I mean,
well, most of them are. They're made with the core plastic.
Yeah.
But think about your yard
sale
sign.
Yeah.
You may have somebody putting
cardboard. You could
have
election signs made out of cardboard.
But if it's
raining,
you wouldn't want to have a bus.
Right.
So you wouldn't have that out there.
I think for something that's up for a couple of days, you're probably not.
I think if you've got something in there that says they need to be maintained in good condition, then however they get...
Yeah.
Torn up, the code would apply to it.
Okay. I do have one I want to throw out that it's troubled me that's in our existing ordinance. I'm not sure how you're handling it, Steve, but I thought it was similar. In our professional office district, we have an image of it being almost like a residential area, and so it's quiet. The signs are very small, and they tend to be non-illuminated. Is that what you are proposing this go around? Do you know?
I don't remember specifically. It kind of depends on the city, what type of office, because some cities' office district is like you say, it's like a smaller offices that blend in with residential, but then larger cities have, you know, three-story office complexes, so I don't think you have that in Lindsay.
That's where I'm going, though. We do have a complex. Think the Wellness Center and across the street. There are several medical facilities over there, and right now we really restrict. There's some illegal signs out there, and we just haven't enforced it. The size of their offerings. And so I would invite you to consider, if you have a complex like that, whether you allow the monument sign that you see there, it's got all the red in it with the brick around the area, or if it were a big enough complex, a pedestal or pole sign. I don't think we're going to have that there. But maybe if you would allow them to do something like that, and maybe it could be backlit. But I think, like our current ordinance says, it can't be lit at all. And the signs are prohibitively small in my mind. If I had an office there, I'd be frustrated.
Yeah, so there's two ways you can light a sign. You can, would be called internally illuminated, which is like those two signs where the light's behind it and shines through the sign. Neon is also considered internal illumination. And then external illumination would be you have another light maybe on the ground that shines up at the site, at the light. And I see that in some codes for offices to say, well, you can have external illumination but not internal. But again, it's what you're comfortable with. It's your city.
So you're saying that currently built, they cannot have something like that out there.
Correct. They cannot light it, and the size is really small right now.
Yeah, I like it lit, and I like it professional.
Well, you want to be able to know.
I like your idea of some kind of monument signs, though. List who's in there.
Yeah. Instead of having to go, because people who are driving around, they're not familiar with what's in there. They're going to be like just driving in and out.
I've done that in Visalia, on the north end of Demery and what is it, Goshen up there. It's a rabbit warren of offices there, and you've got to know what you're looking for.
I'm going to look for the I'll tell you that vice versa, the biggest residential versus commercial complaints is there is a gas station with a canopy over the gas pumps and the lights on the panel on that particular level of the line of neon around beyond just those through the sky. So I don't know if you have any gas stations. I don't remember if we put it in there, but I'd recommend, unless you really want it, I'd recommend like no use of neon or band, like neon signs.
But neon banding, that light just penetrates like a long ways. People usually complain about it, especially red.
So if you want to regulate canopies when you're adjacent to residential areas, yes, I should.
Yeah, and that's getting, we're getting a little bit away from signage and more into lighting, but we can throw it in there somehow.
So it sounds like you should put it right. No, ma'am, I think you covered the big ones. When we take away the content, you know, it makes it really hard. We don't foresee the outcome of the decision that we're going to make. And I just ask you to be thinking about it between now and the next time we come up with the actual ordinance. See if you find any holes in what we're talking about right now. It's going to take all of us to do that. But the good news is if you base it on something that someone else has done, they too have counselors that have gone through this process. So I appreciate your patience. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's a standard. Now we have three different people that have logins to that who can manage that process.
Mm-hmm.
And the process tonight is to set it up where you don't have one individual that is the clerk and the manager and the fine instructor all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you need to have a better mix of people involved. That's too many people doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack has got the communications background. He's been a professional in the communications field. He's been improving on what we've done already.
Can we see his resume?
Sure. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can. And he has come up with ways, looking at ways to improve the way our municipal code is managed. We are so far behind in incorporating ordinances into it. He's looking at self-publishing versus having someone on the outside do the publishing. He's looking at cost comparisons. He's done all this on his own to make for a better organization. We've never had anything like this before. Someone who's willing to do that, take the job that seriously, he is absolutely up to the challenge, and he will do you proud.
And I think, you know, I personally, I value, you know, the level of education that we're as a city considering for these positions, because it's very necessary to make things more efficient and smoother and work better for our residents in the end, instead of getting backlogged or trying to do things in a different manner when you can be more efficient. So I appreciate that.
And you know, and it's a good thing. I mean, I see that he's been improving every single time, and that's to be expected. I just struggle with the perception of the hiring procedures that we had in place, and that's what's given me pause in doing this and approving this, because you all know, Bill, and I spoke to you already about this. It's not a good place to be.
I'm sorry, what's not a good place to be?
It's not a good place to be when we are perceived as giving more of an entitlement to certain people and others we're not giving them that opportunity.
I would just say, if I may comment, Council, that when we go through the hiring process, we work tremendously hard at being unbiased. We bring in people from the outside to sit on the interview, the selection committee. In fact, as often as not, staff's not even involved with it until the very, very end, and we rarely deviate from the recommendation that's made from us, made to us, and it's merit-based. And we have to hire people on a merit-based basis, and we do need to pursue education for particular jobs, not every job. And we do that. We hire people that are local, and we hire people, some people that are not local, that come in that are immensely qualified, that can do good things for the organization. And I think that's the way that we have to do it. I recognize that there are perceptions, but they also get perpetuated. And I can tell you that our last city deputy city clerk was local and wanted to do something else. And so it does happen. It's not always going to be a local person. But we always open it up to that, and we spread it as far as and wide as we can. We're learning from your suggestion with Indeed that we can refine that a little bit, so we just don't have a welder hitting respond applying for a finance job.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to keep refining it, and we're learning, and having qualified people here is going to help us accelerate that refinement.
But you do understand what the perception is, right?
I do, and it's an incorrect perception.
Okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
So would Yolanda, would it make a difference if you saw his resume at some point?
Yes, okay. It would.
Okay.
So are we ready to take action tonight, or do we need to table this to the next meeting?
I make a motion that we appoint him, Jack as a city clerk. I feel confident in knowing his educational background and seeing the work that he's done that he could take on this role, additional duties without an increase in pay. That's my opinion.
There's a motion. Is there a second? So, Councilman Sanchez hasn't weighed in. So, if we're going to have a split vote.
I did weigh in, but, you know, as Yolanda was saying, you know, the process, I feel it is a little bit unfair, being that he's only been here a short time and nobody else was given the opportunity to even say if they were interested in the position. I mean, I know he said there was a personal issue. I don't know if you meant for yourself or for that other person, but I think it's just unfair not to let anybody else weigh in whether they're interested in that position or not. I mean, we do have other employees that have been here a long time. As far as education, I don't know. I would have to see what their resume looks like. So I just feel like it's unfair to someone coming in and being here for 2 months and not giving anybody else that's already been here for a longer period of time to have that interest in applying for that position. I understand it's not a promotion, but there may be somebody else interested that may want to do something like that, that has worked with the city for a long time.
Well, and something to consider, too, if it was opened up to other people, that would mean, I mean, to what I see, usually jobs are 8 to 5. Our meetings are later, and some of the duties for the city clerk take place here, right?
So then that means that they would have to either work later on a city council day with no additional pay. I don't know how many people.
They
I know I wouldn't do it.
They feel like that. Once you're here.
But yeah, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has their schedules.
Yeah. But the thing is, we're accountable to the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we always have to remember.
Yeah.
We're accountable to the people.
And I think it's fair that if you guys want to take a look at his resume and maybe even talk to him about previous experiences or jobs or whatnot, I think that's fair too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think positions have been made clear, and we probably don't need to discuss it any further. Council has a right to approve or not approve. Generally speaking, we don't play any administrative role. We can't tell the city manager who to hire or move around or anything like that or any violation of charter. In this case, we have a say whether or not to approve the city clerk. It looks like we likely have a split vote. So, Mario, what do we do with that?
I would recommend you just table it. I think the councilwoman had expressed an interest in reviewing some documents or even talking to him. And then you can bring it back. That's a later date.
The motion is going to die anyway. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So moving on then to item 8. Does anyone need a break, by the way, before we go to our next presentation? Okay, we will take a 5-minute break.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.